couple of things I'll announce while the kids are being dismissed. We do have a baptism at 6 o'clock at the YMCA. I've already had two wives that have bribed me with extra money to hold their husbands under longer. And here is the good news for the wives. I need the cash. So, I do need some volunteers. I've had one so far. If I can have a few people to meet me at 5:30, we can get in the doors at 5:30. And I need someone that will volunteer to stand outside and just direct where people to park and where to come in at. So I need that as well. But I need some people to be there at 5:30 to help me bring the PA and speaker in, carry the keyboard in. I know Marjorie can't do that. She's not quite that skilled with crutches. So we'll need help with that. So, okay. If you can be there at 5:30, I'd appreciate it too. Just when we get set up, make sure everything works good. So I need help for that if you could be there, please. Also, anybody see a sign-up sheet when you came in for setup team for Easter service? Anybody notice that at all? Don't act like y'all didn't. I don't know what you're talking about. We are going to have our Easter service in the new fellowship hall for the purpose of having more space. Every year, we are so crammed here on Easter Sunday, we have to bring folding chairs in. Some of y'all don't like each other. And so I got to keep my liberals and my conservatives kind of, you know, apart. We're going to set up in the new building. So I do need a setup team that Friday night, March 30th at 6 o'clock. We're going to take all the blue chairs out, some folding chairs we're going to set up, bring the keyboard in. Randy's going to bring my sound equipment in, our computer and microphones to set up, bring some plants in to kind of dress it up a little bit. We're going to have our service out there for you. I know it's a lot of work, but it'll be a lot more space. You know, we usually have about 150 here on Sunday mornings, Easter, and that's we don't have that many seats in here right now. And so it's really, really cramped. So if you can help sign up to be here, I am going to feed you pizza and drinks, okay? You'll be able to eat that night. We'll bring pizza in for those that volunteer. And I'll get good pizza, okay? I'll get the Red Baron. Hopefully it'll be on sale that week. We'll get some good pizza, I promise. So if you can help carry a chair, help bring in some stuff to set up, carry a plant, just if you can help us out. Now, the Wednesday night before that, which will be March 28th, y'all don't know this yet, but the Wednesday crowd is going to be doing a little help that night, too. Y'all going to be breaking the table down and rolling in here for me to kind of clear out that space and then have the setup people Friday night. So if you can sign up, please sign up for that. Do what? They'll come. I'm going to have donuts that night for y'all. And they'll be the good donuts. They'll be good donuts, probably daylight donuts. Yeah. So anyway, a couple announcements I want to make there. So looking forward to tonight. I'm very, very excited. If you are planning on being baptized tonight, can you stand up so the church will know who's made that decision to do that tonight? And just remain standing for a minute. Now, Ralph's going to be baptized too. He's watching guard right now. So and Peyton's being baptized. And then we have a few not here this morning that signed up. Rodney's daughter's getting baptized. But Olivia had a reaction, so they had to go to the doctor this morning. Just everything's okay, I think. Just keep her in your prayers. But he's planning on being there tonight still, he said. So anyway, give support to our folks that are doing that. We're very, very excited. Very proud of that. All right, we're going to get into some scripture today. This is called Life-Changing. I forgot to change my title. God changed my title on me this morning. So anyway, it's supposed to say Life-Changing Faith. Life-changing faith. And I touched on a little bit Wednesday night, we're talking about Joseph, but I see where people's lives through the power of God can truly be changed and transformed. You know, people are always saying, well, I've got this weakness, and I've got this issue, and I've got these problems, and I've always been that way, da-da-da-da-da. But we can allow our faith to truly change us to where we are demonstrating outwardly what we believe inwardly. To where we're making stands against things in life, stands against the enemy, stand here now to say, you know what, my faith is so real and I believe in it so much, I'm not just all talk. You know those folks that say, hey, can I borrow $2 for a drink? I'll pay you back. Yeah. There's those folks that are all talk. Oh, man, I forgot my $2. Man, I promise I'll get you next week. Oh, man, I forgot my, I'll get you next week. Mellon remembers those folks, don't you? Melon is still put out for $5 she loaned out 5 years ago to a lady in Winston-Salem. 8 years ago. You remember those things. So some folks, $10. So somebody give that girl $10. I'm tired of hearing about it for 8 years. So some people are just, they're just talk, right? They're all talk. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And you know, they're a big bag of puffy smoke. They ain't going to do jack. And then there's those that do what they say. Remember the old cartoon? Was it the elephant I grew up with? I say what I do and I do what I say. Yeah. Anyway, it's a bad example. But the point is, we need to be doers. And see, James talked about this in the book of James some. People used to say, well, he's conflicting with Paul because of grace only. But remember what James says? Faith without works is dead. It doesn't mean we're saved by works. We know that. But it does mean that if we have a real living faith, there needs to be some fruit. There needs to be some evidential fruit that we really have what we say that we have. And we're going to go through some scriptures, and I got some great examples we're going to go through of men and women who had a faith that was life-changing. That we can be different than we were. How many of us really want to be different than we are? We can be. We can change. We don't have to stay stuck in a cycle of defeat day after day. Faith can change that cycle and cause us to walk in victory day by day. We don't have to let discouragement and depression and overwhelmingness continually rule and run our lives whenever we have resurrection power living inside of us. Yet we live the devil that kind of credit every day, and we stay depressed and we stay full of anxiety and we stay full of fear. We can't go here, can't go here. We worry everywhere we're going to go, what's going to happen. Man, we serve a God who is alive, who lives inside of us, and he is more powerful than any weapon that's formed against us. No weapon, the Bible says, formed against us can prosper. It cannot gain a foothold or an advantage in our lives if we don't allow it to. But we have to realize our faith is more than a cross we wear. It's more than a song we sing. It's more than a word we read. It's more than something we tell our neighbor we have. It is about walking in something that has absolutely evidentially changed our lives. It's about going from this to going to this. I got a friend I went to school with, and I won't call his name because some of you will know him, but I went to school with this guy, and he was not a professed Christian. In fact, he was the opposite, not necessarily not a believer, not a, you know, an atheist, but he lived his life full of sin. He lived his life in rebellion, had a potty mouth, just, you know, ran around with women, did all the stuff that we as Christians, you know, call sin. And I remember hearing a call one day where he got saved and was serving in the church and had a complete change. And his Facebook posts are always scripture, they're always something about God. I saw a man I grew up with my whole life be transformed by the power and the grace of Jesus. That still happens. We think that can't happen now, Pastor, man. We're in the 20s. We got so many things wrong, and we got to be, you know, here's what's happened. Now, I absolutely am a man of that extends mercy and grace. I'm a pastor of love. I always have been. But the same token, we have let tolerance almost numb us to the point that we don't stand up for truth anymore, because we're afraid what somebody might say. We're afraid of how it might offend someone. We're afraid because we can't offend the two men that are married because they're human beings too, Pastor. And we can't offend the woman that chooses to have abortion because, well, that's her right, Pastor. You know, and we can't offend the people that are against guns because they've lost someone by a gun law. So you know what? We got to be sensitive to that cause as well. And, you know, we can't, Pastor, people are living together now, not married, and we can't come against that too hard because that's just what everybody does now. And we find ourselves being so numb to what we used to stand for as being what God's Word said and our own mouth declaring. Either we stand for truth or we don't. There's no middle ground. And our faith, as we begin to really engage in it and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to transform us, we will have the boldness of a Peter and a Paul and a John that will stand in the face of the governors and the rulers and the Pharisees and declare, "My God hath done this, and there is none like my God, and there is no name whereby you must be saved, and all of your psychiatric spiritual yoga nonsense is not the same as Jesus Christ and the power thereof." None of that even equates. We got five people. That's awesome. I'm hitting, so that's great. I went to a conference Thursday down in Concord. It was talking about drug abuse. And they're even changing the name of this now. And for those of you that have this problem, don't get offended. I'm sitting there rolling my eyes when the speaker's telling this. The new thing now is not called drug abuse. They say you can't abuse a drug. They're too smart for me, I guess. I don't get that. It's now, they're wanting to change it to what they call substance use disorder. Substance use disorder. And one of the people spoke up in the conference and said it that way, and the speaker, which is a well-known doctor, been on 2020, been on a CBS show, all this stuff, he says, "Thank you for saying that the right way." I'm sitting there cringing, like, my God, let's just go get a lollipop, pet a golden retriever, and walk in the meadow barefoot, ha la la, like a Powerpuff Girl. Let's call things as they are. Living together, not married, is not the same as married. Okay? A man and a man and a woman is not the same as what God defined marriage as. Taking a child out of the womb is still called what? Murder! It's murder. We are killing far more babies in the womb than guns are taking our children. Far more. And for those that scream, "It's my right," where's the child's right? And so what I'm saying is we have become so melancholy. We've become so melancholy. I can't even say it. We become so melancholy that we are just accepting things because we don't want to hurt their feelings. We justify things, right? "Well, it's not that bad, Pastor. If it's controlling your life, if it's putting stumbling blocks in your way, we need to allow God to do something with it. Allow God to remove it out of our lives and just get it gone." And God can. "Pastor, you don't understand. You've not ever had this problem." Look, I got a lot of problems. I've got my own battles. I've got my own storms. I get it. I realize it. There's times I laid in bed thinking I was dying because the anxiety filled my room to the point I thought I was leaving the earth. I've been there. I know. But then when I began to call out the name of Jesus, guess what happened? My faith went from just being something I believed in to something that was transforming my moment. Because I would feel the anxiety lift off of me and be removed. Look what the Bible says. Let's get into some scriptures. Luke 4. Here's why Jesus came to begin with. In Luke 4. "The Spirit of the Lord," this is Jesus talking, he's prophesying out of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." If you're still brokenhearted, you've not been healed. That's just how it is. And don't say, "Well, please be compassionate to my weaknesses." I understand. But if we believe Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and you're still brokenhearted, you've not allowed the power of who he is and what he has done to become part of you to break that stronghold of brokenheartedness. He also came to do this, to preach deliverance to the captives. Are you tired of being captive? Man, are you tired of being chained to what the devil has put in your life? Are you tired of being bound to what the devil says you have to be bound to? Are you tired of saying, "This is my life and I'll always have it"? You know, one thing they said I agree with at the conference I went to, and I preached this for years at the pulpit. They had an ex-drug user disorder person speaking. He's been clean for 22 years. Here's what he said. He said, N.A. and A.A., you can be clean for 20 years, 30 years, be completely clean for 30 years. After 30 years, you're still standing up saying, I am James Lewis and I am an alcoholic. He says, the language is wrong. The language should be, I am James Lewis and I am 10 years in recovery. That sounds a lot better and it makes a lot more sense. I'm glad the medical world caught up to James Lewis's theology after all these years. Because that's how we do as Christians. I am James Lewis and I am bound by my sins. I am James Lewis and I'm bound by my depression. I am James Lewis and I am bound by my anxiety. I'm James Lewis and I'm bound by all the things that have me. Instead of saying, I am James Lewis and I was a captive that has been set free. I'm James Lewis and I was brokenhearted, but he brought healing and my heart's not broke no more. He also came to do this, to recover the sight to them that are blind, to them that can't see. And that's my prayer today, that our eyes and our ears hear and see what God is saying. And this morning I pray in this sanctuary, Lord, use my mouth and use my words. I give all of me to you. Use me to say what you have to say. Because it's important that we hear the word of God. We hear the truth of what God is saying. We think because we're such a tolerant generation now that we can't tell anybody anything. And we're doing them a disservice. There was a, I don't know if you saw this news story at Haines Mall last night, Winston Salem. Anybody see the story at Haines Mall, what happened? 80 to 100 teenagers went wild in the mall in a big massive fight, had to shut the whole mall down. They started cussing police officers, trying to attack them. And we're sitting here wanting to be tolerant instead of getting a hickory switch or getting a 1974 model wide belt like my dad used to have, bending my hind end over and beating me to an inch of my life. Hey, I'm one of those kids. Hey, you want to talk about the millennials? Let me tell you about I'm Generation X. I'm an Xer. Brad's an Xer. Let's see. A lot of us are Xers. Kelly's an Xer. Bill and Christy are Xers. Probably Chuck and you are Xers, probably. We are Xers in here. And I survived getting my hind end beat with a belt. I survived drinking water out of a water hose out of the back of a nasty brick house. I survived riding a bicycle with ne'er a knee pad, ne'er a helmet, ne'er a pair of goggles, and jumping homemade ramps till I crashed. I used to have dirt clod fights with my friends. I'm not talking about Minecraft. I'm talking about a dirt clod hitting my hind end till it made a mark. And I wanted more. I played Star Wars. You know how I play Star Wars? We get two big sticks. He was Darth Vader, I was Luke Skywalker. We would get sticks and hit them till they broke down to a nub and you finally said, okay, I give up. I climbed monkey bars. I climbed trees and would sit on the top of trees and sit there for hours and talk to my buddies without smoking weed, just sitting in a tree. Never had a take a drug, never had to drink beer to boys around back to have a good time with my friends. We would shoot ball till it was so dark you couldn't see the basketball goal when you was hitting somebody's car. And I survived. We're Xers. Now, if your kids do this, I'm not cracking on it. I'm just saying, when I see kids so padded up riding a bicycle, like they're going sumo, I don't know, going to a cage fight, I'm like, my God, just get on your bike and ride. Takes you half hour to get ready. Oh. Even my son skateboarded for years and years, still does, and thank God, God's grace has never broke a bone, has never, you know, damaged anything. He came to set at liberty them that are blind. Or them that are bruised. Are you bruised? You've been beat around by life. Look, I'm not saying there's not real reasons why we have become the people we are. I'm just saying there's a remedy now. And that remedy is Jesus Christ. We can't hold what our dad did to us 50 years ago the rest of our lives, church. We can't hold what our preacher did to us, what our church did to us, what our mama did to us. We can't blame the boss that fired us 30 years ago. I got on drugs because I lost my job and had no hope. Well, you got hope now. You got hope today. Jesus took away all the excuses. He came to set us free, to heal our broken heart, to open our blinded eyes, and to clean up our bruises. Remember what mom would do when you fell off a bike or skint your knee? Go in and be burning, put that peroxide on it. You think she hated you because it burnt more? She burnt. What are you doing? I'm bubbling. Remember, it would sizzle like a steak on a plate. Didn't mean that to rhyme every time. Here's steak on a plate. And she put a Band-Aid and that cream on there and put a Band-Aid. And it was, you know, boom, it healed up. Now all we want to do is point our, oh, look, I'm bruised, y'all. Be nice to me. I'm bruised. Don't hurt my feelings. I'm bruised. You don't know what I've been through. Oh, agony, agony, agony. My God, I know what you, look, I've been through it. Melon's been through it. We've been together 26 years. We've been through it. We've raised kids together. We've been through it. We started a church. We've been through it. We've had health issues. We've been through it. But the point is, Jesus sets us free, because our faith has to be more than something we just say. It has to produce a change in our lives. And that's what God is desiring for his people. Don't just walk in the knowledge of me. Walk in the power of me. Don't just walk in what you know about me, but walk in all that I am. Don't just say I can't have peace. No, it's time to walk in peace. Don't just say I can have some joy. It's time today. You have joy, and you walk in the fullness of what God has given you. If you're waiting on a clear day where there's no clouds, you're going to be misled your whole life. If you're waiting to serve God when all things are right, and when all the stars align in a certain order, and there's a full eclipse upon your life, and everything's just right, okay, now, God, I can have joy and I can have peace. We can have joy and peace in the storm. Next scripture. And he came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. God is here today. His life is here today. His grace is here today. We don't have to wait one more moment, one more second, one more day. It's here right now to receive what you need to receive. One more verse, then I'll go through some examples. 2 Corinthians 5:15. That he died for all. Who did he die for? All of us. He died for all. That they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This is what baptism is all about. We are buried with him, and then we're resurrected with him. We're buried with the sins and all the struggles and burying them and leaving them behind. And we come out of that water with newness of life in resurrected power. Next verse. And this is the key verse this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. That's what faith does. If we are still the same as we were before we say we have been saved or before we have followed Christ, something's not clicking. Something's not right. There should be a change as our faith becomes real to us, that we can stand in the storm and still trust God. We can stand in uncertainty and still trust God. We can stand when there's no hope and still have hope. We can stand where we see no way out, but just trust that God's going to make a way out. Faith, life-changing faith that transforms us. That we don't have to always carry the junk, the habits, the stuff that we've always had. But that we can break free. Let's talk about some men. We're not going to be any more scriptures right now. That's my two scriptures. I'm going to go through some examples. Abraham's faith was so strong that he carried his son's hand to an altar, raised up a knife, and was willing to slay his own son because his faith was that real. Man, we can't come to church if we're having a bad day. Abraham's about to kill his son. Well, that just sounds horrible. What God would do that? See, you're not hearing the message. God never intended for Abraham to kill his son. It was all about where Abraham was and was his faith real or not. It's easy to have faith. Man, payday, we love payday. If you're still getting paid, hallelujah. If you're retired, bless your hearts. Whew. But if you still get, man, payday is fun. You get that check, it's awesome for about 16 hours. Then your bills are paid and you got nothing left. But man, payday is awesome. Easy to praise God. Abraham's faith was so real, he walked his son. His son said, Dad, I see the burnt wood, but where's the sacrifice? He understood what sacrifice was. Where's the lamb, Daddy? Remember what he says? God will provide a lamb. Whew. Faith. Faith that went beyond Abraham just saying, think about, what if it went this way? Abraham's like, Lord, I'll do anything you tell me to do. Just tell me. Okay, my son, Abraham, take your son and go lay him on the altar and sacrifice him. Lord, I'll do anything else that you want me to do. Sorry, he said that. Faith is about believing God in the moment of whatever that moment is. Remember Noah. God instructed Noah to build an ark to save the people because the great flood was going to come in the land. They didn't know what that was at the time. At this time, water came out of the ground, not out of the sky. So this was a very radical thought to say, okay, what's a flood? It's going to come out of the sky and you're going to drown, huh? Noah built that ark. For 120 years, God gave his people a chance. For 120 years, think about this, man. We got to quit listening to these TV preachers say, sow a seed of $100 and be blessed in 31 days. Just saying, as Melly says. I'm just saying. Here's Noah. Think about this. I'm going to send a flood. Okay, Noah starts building the ark. Okay, Lord, it's been 3 months. All I see is blue sky. Lord, it's been 3 years. Blue sky. Been 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 70 years. But what did Noah do? He kept on. His faith was so real. In spite of not seeing the flood, he obeyed. In spite of seeing not a evidence of any water falling out of the sky, he built, and think about his friends making fun of him. They made fun. I mean, think about this. He's building this humongous boat. And you know they're walking by going, woohoo! He needs to go to the Mosaic home for the mentally ill. Think about what they were thinking. That was actually before Moses, so it would be Mosaic home. But anyway, you get the point. They're going by, seeing his boat. What are you doing? They're going, yeah, right, Noah, right, right. He did not let the naysayers and people around, he did not let the culture around him poison inside of him. He kept building. What happened? The flood came, right? And Noah was safe. Remember Daniel's story. Daniel was a prayer warrior, loved to pray.